Thank you. Hebrews chapter 11, of course. I would like to back up to Abraham, verse 8. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country. As in a strange country. Dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, if that's what they wanted, they could have returned. They might have had opportunity to have returned. If that was on their mind, they could have gone back. And if earth is on our minds, we can stay here when Jesus comes. But now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly. Wherefore God, this is the reason that God is not ashamed to be called their God. Perhaps he's ashamed of people who call this world their country, their home, their dwelling place. But now they desire a better country, that is, in heavenly, and that's why God is not ashamed to be called their God. For he hath prepared for them a city, and they have detached themselves from this world. Hallelujah. Back to verse 12. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. Just look at what God did through one man. One man that believed in him. And one man that, according to other eyes, was at serious disadvantage. Because he was an aged man. He was an old man. His body, as far as reproducing, was dead. He had no reproductive ability. His wife's womb was dead. She was past that time of her life where she could bear children any longer. In fact, she never had a child. To add to the problem, she was barren, never had a child, and now she's 90 years old. And the Bible says, therefore sprang there even one. Therefore, why? Because they had faith in God. I've had my troubles in this life, and you've had your troubles in this life. I think one secret for us to learn is don't give up. Don't give up. Never quit. There's a sign that Sister Joni Sandberg has on the bulletin board in the office. I don't know how many of you have seen that, but some bird, I don't know, what is that bird? A heron? Okay, anyway, it swallowed a frog, or started to swallow a frog. The frog's head is down the throat of this bird. And his neck is down the throat of this bird. And his shoulders are on the way down the throat of this bird. But its hands and legs, or its four legs, are free. So it takes the two front legs, and it's choking the bird in the neck. And the sign says, never quit. Never quit. Oh, for that kind of faith. For that kind of faith. Amen. What's ever killing you, just kind of squeeze it. Squeeze its neck. Therefore sprang there even of one because of their faith. And him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude. The stars of the sky in multitude. Brother Arlen came to me, Arlen Knuth came to me one day and he said, I'm a star. And I looked at him and I thought, you're right. And then he said, the Bible says that Abraham's children were children of Abraham, whereas the stars of the sky. So I can greet you this morning as stars. You're God's stars. Praise the Lord. You talk about football stars and baseball stars and singing stars and rock stars and all the other stars. I'd rather know one of you than all of them.
All right.
I would rather know one of you humble saints than all of those great stars in this world, because we're those one of those heavenly ones. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Therefore there sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore, innumerable. And only God can count the stars. In fact, the Bible says in Psalm 147:4, he telleth the number of the stars, he calleth them all by their names. Can you imagine that? I think I told you last week that I stood out as a boy and tried to count the stars. Many of you have tried it. And if you weren't too embarrassed to tell it, you've stood there and you've got a little patch of them counted, and they start, you lose your focus and they move around a little bit, or your eyes move and you lose count. I lost count before I got to a million, you know. And there are multi-millions or billions of stars out there we don't even know. The bigger we build, the stronger we build the telescopes, the more they find out there. God is infinite. Somebody was talking to me just the other day about the greatness of the universe. And as soon as they started talking about the greatness of the universe, my mind goes to the greatness of God. Because God is everlasting. The universe is going to be destroyed, melt with fervent heat. It's all going to pass away. And God said, behold, I make all things new. And somebody argued with me that there is life on other planets because this creation or this universe is far too big for life to be limited to one little planet called the Earth. So there must be life out there somewhere in the great beyond. There must be. I said, no, not necessarily. You are making the creation bigger than the Creator. Let's go by what the Creator says about these things. Now, and I could go into that because I've been into it, and I have really been into it, and the more I get into it, the stronger I get on how I feel about it. I think I've talked to a few of you even about it, because I can't keep quiet about it. I'm so excited about it. But only God can count the stars. And only God can count the redeemed. He said Abraham's seed would be as the stars of the sky and the sand of the sea for multitude. After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. An innumerable number no man could number. Listen to 2 Timothy 2:19. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. The Lord knoweth every one of them that are his. You know, if we were going to count, we would probably mislabel, and we would probably count a few on the right side that should be on the left, and count a few on the left that should be on the right, but not so with God. The Bible says, nevertheless, having this seal, the foundation of the Lord standeth sure. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, and having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. Are you a child of God today? The Lord knows it. The Lord knows whether you are or not. Amen. And you can't fool anybody. You can't come to church all dressed up, carrying a Bible and a big smile on your face. And you can fool me. You can fool your neighbors, your friends. But God knows the heart. So the Lord is not going to mislabel anybody. Amen. He knows who are his. Make no mistake about it. And when it comes to people wondering who's going to heaven or who's not going to heaven, these questions are asked of me quite frequently. Will this person go to heaven? And they told me some fault that person had. And I thought to myself, well, let's take a look in the mirror and ask if we're going to heaven. Maybe we have a few smudge marks, a few spots. But I do like to say this to people, that the Lord knoweth them that are his. The Lord knoweth them that are his. And I said this, that our God is a merciful God. He is a compassionate God. He is a forgiving God. And he's an understanding God. God knows. And I said, aren't you glad that you don't have to judge who's going to heaven? The Lord knoweth them that are his. Praise the Lord. I don't have to sit here and look out over the congregation and say, oh man, that person doesn't do this and doesn't do that, I don't think they're going to heaven. I don't have to say that at all. God knows where you are in Him. God knows your maturity level. God knows whether you're a child of His or not. God knows whether you've been born again. God knows whether you're striving. God knows your struggles. God knows your inner thoughts and your heart's condition. God knows all that. And that way I can treat everybody equally, because I'm not the judge. God's the judge. Yes. All we do is preach the whole counsel of God. We're going to get into a little of that right now. The Lord knoweth them that are His. And verse 13 says, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them. Somebody said, I read somewhere, that that word embraced really means greet, and greeted them from a distance. Before you can even touch the person, or get all the little details into focus, you greet them. Hi, you know who it is. You identify it. Be that as it may, these all died in faith. That means Abraham died in faith, Sarah died in faith, Isaac and Jacob died in faith. That's who it's talking about. These all died in faith, not having received the promises. They did not receive the promises in their lifetime. But they had the promise and they clung to the promise. They embraced the promise. They would not let the promise go. And saints of God, you and I have some promises today, and we don't want to let go of them. We have the promise that Jesus Christ is coming again. He said, if I go away, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. When Jesus left this earth, just before he left, he said, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come. But if I go away, I will send him unto you. And if you have not received the Holy Ghost today, you better embrace that promise. Cling to it. Hang on to it. Because that promise is for you. And it will see fulfillment if you will hold on to it and lay hold of it and not let go of it. You will receive the Holy Ghost. Don't give up. Don't give up. Hang on. Praise the Lord to that promise. So it says, not having received the promises, not in their lifetime. And I know for myself that we were baptized by the founding pastor of this church, Brother Joseph P. Rulin. He was born in something like 1862, and he died 1952, something like that. He was almost 90 years old, 89 years old. But he baptized me. He baptized my wife. He married my wife and I in the parsonage. And we heard that man preach and teach a lot of times. And I've heard him say over and over that he wants to be living when Jesus comes. He had a promise. And he wouldn't let go of that promise. But he died before the promise was fulfilled in his life. But he died in faith that the promise would still be fulfilled. And my old friend up in St. Paul, he just knew that he was going to live till Jesus came. He knew that he would be living when Jesus came. He just felt that way. But he didn't let go of the promise. He died believing it. Praise the Lord. Amen. And I feel the same way. I feel like Jesus is going to come in my lifetime. How many of you feel that way? That Jesus is going to come in your lifetime. But if he doesn't, are you going to die saying he failed me? Are you going to die saying he didn't keep his promise? Are you going to die saying I'm going to throw my Bible away? I can't believe it anymore? It's untrustworthy? No. The promise remains. The promise stands. And Almighty God stands behind His promise. If He says He's coming one day, He's coming one day, whether I live or whether I die. Because my hope is not in Him because I live or because my sick relative dies. No. Or because they're sick and we pray for them and they're healed. No. We live we have hope not because we live, but because He lives. That's our hope. We can die, but He still lives. And He will fulfill His promises. Praise the Lord. Maybe not in our lifetime. Maybe not. Maybe somebody believed that God was going to heal their body in this lifetime, and they die with the sickness that they never got healed of. That doesn't mean that God is unfaithful. You'll be healed one day. You just wait and you see your resurrection body. Like old Dr. Hill said, you just wait till you see baby again. You just wait. You just wait. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. They saw them afar off. They had spiritual sight. They could see into the distant future or the immediate future. It didn't matter. They could see beyond today. They could see the fulfillment of the promise. And folks, we're supposed to be able to see the fact by faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. We are supposed to have that kind of faith that sees, greets, embraces the fact.
Yes. Amen.
By faith. We need to see the fact by faith. Then things are going to happen in our hearts. Things are going to happen in our minds. Things are going to happen in our lives.
Yes.
Our lifestyles will change when we can see the fact.
Yes.
By faith. They received not the promise, but they saw them afar off, and they were persuaded of them. Don't you feel that way? Don't you feel like you can say with old brother Abraham or father Abraham today, I am persuaded. I am persuaded. Even though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself and not another. My eyes are going to behold him. Praise the Lord. We have to be that persuaded, as persuaded as old Job was, the patriarch Job, when he spoke those beautiful words. We have to have full confidence in God, total trust in God's word. How many believe it? Raise your hand. Raise your Bible. Wave your Bible before the Lord this morning. Thank God for that Bible. Thank God for that word of God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for this word. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. We love your word. We believe your word, Lord. We trust you. Hallelujah. 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 They embraced them. They would not let go. Amen. I mean, embrace this thing. Get a hold of it. Sink your teeth into it. Wrap your arms around it. Clutch it with your fingers. Hang on. Hold on. The Bible says in the New Testament, lay hold on eternal life. Lay hold on eternal life. Don't give up. Don't let go. It's going to be worth it all one day. We'll read more about that as we go through the rest of the 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews. And then it says they confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Did they confess it? What did they mean? Did Abraham, Isaac, Sarah, Jacob, did they all confess that they were strangers on the earth? Yes. Listen to the record. The record, Genesis 23, verse 4. Abraham is talking to the sons of Heth. He says, I am a stranger and a sojourner with you. I wonder, if I was out buying a cemetery lot, if I could say to the salesman, to whoever I have to deal with, I am a stranger and sojourner with you. I'd like to buy a burying place from you. That's what Abraham said. I am a stranger and a sojourner with you. Can you imagine talking to the sexton or the salesman or who's ever in charge there? Saying, I am a stranger and a sojourner with you. Give me a possession of a burying place with you that I may bury my dead out of my sight. You see, I don't own a square inch of property in this world. I'm just a stranger down here. Don't misunderstand me now. I'm not saying it's wrong to own a farm or own a house or own a piece of land. That's not the point. But we are to be strangers and pilgrims down here, sojourners down here. And Jacob, we have that's the record of Abraham right there. Genesis 23:4, we have the record of Jacob. Jacob standing talking to Pharaoh. And he said to Pharaoh in Genesis 47, verse 9. And Jacob said unto Pharaoh, the days of the years of my pilgrimage are 130. Few and evil have the days of my life been. 130 years, according to the Bible, from the lips of Jacob, are few and evil. Yes. We all have our troubles, our trials and tribulations, our problems in this life. And so Jacob said to Pharaoh, few and evil have been the days of my life. I'm only 130 years old. You see, my dad lived to be 180 years old, and my grandpa lived to be 175. And I'm only 130 died. And have not attained unto the days of the years of the life of my fathers in the days of their pilgrimage. Have you got it? Abraham said, I'm a stranger and a sojourner to the sons of Heth. And Jacob said to Pharaoh, I am a pilgrim. And my fathers were pilgrims. We're just strangers in this world. Peter writes in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 17, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. And in chapter 2, verse 11, he says, dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul. You are just a stranger and a pilgrim here. Now, a lot of people are resigned to the brevity of this life. We all know that time is fleeting. We all know that it's brief, short. We all know that we who are in our 30s know that just yesterday we were teenagers. We all know that it's not long ago when we couldn't wait to be adults. In my day it was 21, today it's 18. We all know that we have to be adults to get married. We all wanted to get married. We had a boyfriend. We had a girlfriend. I had to wait till I was 21. And my wife was 18 just a little then in the next month. And that's the way it was then. Today it's 18 and 18. First you wait till you're 16 so you can get your driver's license. Then you wait till you're 18 so you can get a wife. And then you want to be 21 so you're more thoroughly recognized. And then you get that job, and then the children start coming, and then you kind of want a career, and you go to school, and you get your life all in order, and then the next thing you know it, you're in your 30s. You say, oh man, just yesterday I was a teenager. The next thing you know, you hit the big 4-0, and now you're over the hill, and as Dale Underville said, on a toboggan going down the other side. Remember that, brother? I won't forget it. Then, all of a sudden you remember, man, just yesterday I was in my 30s. And then you become half a century old, 50. You think, you know, 40 wasn't really very old. I was in my 40s yesterday. Then you hit 60. You start saying, all my friends are in the obituary or on the retirement rolls. What's going on here? Then you go to the cemetery. You go looking at a lot. And you say, I'm a stranger and I'm a pilgrim here. I want to tell you, at 64 years old, it doesn't seem like too many yesterdays when I was that teenager I'm talking about. When I had eyes for that lovely lady right there. And no children. And now I have children. And they're older now than I thought I was. In fact, they're older now than I think I am. I can't believe where it's all gone. But it's back there. It's gone. All I have now is a future. All you have is a future. Your past is gone. You cannot live yesterday over again. That 24 hours is history. It's behind you, never to be made up. All we can do is do the best we can with what we have left, and that's what we should do. Because we are strangers and pilgrims down here, and we need to live for that eternal future. Amen. And we need to be like Abraham and confess that we're strangers and pilgrims. And when we go and look at that hole in the ground, we need to say, I'm a stranger and a sojourner here. And we need to teach that to our children like Abraham did to Jacob when he stood before Pharaoh and said, the years of my pilgrimage are brief, few, short. Life has been quick to go by. Amen. And then we need to listen to Peter when he says we're sojourners here. We need to pass the time of our sojourning here in fear. And then we need to beseech others and address them as strangers and pilgrims and tell them to abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul. And then I began to say that a lot of us are resigned to the brevity of this life. Yes, a lot of people realize that we're going to live 70 or 80 years, or if by strength we live a few more, okay, we'll take it or leave it. But there's more to being a stranger and a pilgrim and a sojourner here on this earth than just being resigned to the briefness of this life. Because there are people that don't know God that are resigned to the brevity of this life. There are people that are aware of the fact that they're going to die. One man came to me and said, pray for my dad. He just told me that he's all prepared to die. And I thought he had given his heart to the Lord and become a Christian. And he said, then I found out that my dad told me that he went out and got cemetery lots and he's got his stone all picked up. He's ready to die now. That's the world's resignation to death and so on, but not ours. That's not it. All the years we're living from the day of our salvation, we are strangers and pilgrims here on the earth. And we're a strange lot to this world because we don't care about the things they care about. We don't invest in the things that they invest in. We don't go to the places and spend our time on the things that they spend their time on and the places that they go to. We're a different lot. We grab our Bible Sunday morning, we dress up, and we put on our decent, clean clothes, and we tie our neckties or put on our beautiful dress, and we come to church and we worship the Lord, as I said, with lifted hands, clapping hands, and dancing feet. Praise the Lord, because we're strangers and pilgrims here on this earth. We have a better world that we're looking for. No wonder those martyrs could look death in the eye, smile, rejoice, and praise God. Not just because they said, well, I'm going to die someday anyway, I might as well die a martyr. No. They had a homeland that they were longing for. They had another country that they had in focus. Praise the Lord. Another land, another country, another place that they were longing for. Even when they were in perfect health, even when they were in the prime of their lives and in full strength, they were strangers and pilgrims here because they had a better place in view. Oh, that's what God is calling us to today. That's what God is teaching us in His Word today. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off and were persuaded of them and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims in this earth. Folks, we are strangers here. Philippians, Paul wrote to the Philippians and told them that our citizenship is in heaven. The word is conversation. The Greek is citizenship. Our conversation is in heaven. Our citizenship is in heaven. We're all ready for heaven. We're already new creatures. Can a man be in Christ? He's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Our citizenship on earth passes away. We are citizens of heaven. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. We don't want to go to heaven. Just merely to avoid earth's problems. Suicide will solve that. Wrong, but that's what people do. They avoid, they escape their problems through suicide. That doesn't mean that they're strangers and pilgrims here. We are the true strangers and pilgrims here. And we're not committing suicide. We're just looking for another place. Praise the Lord. And we'll be thrilled when Jesus comes. Confess that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Verse 14. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a city. They lived as though they had not yet found a permanent dwelling place here on earth, but they kept traveling in search of one. Oh, praise the Lord. Now, you and I have dwelling places here, but write it down. It's not permanent. Amen. It's not permanent for the Christian, and it's not permanent for the non-Christian. Amen. It's not permanent for anybody. How much more, then, should we understand this? How much more should you and I understand that this is not permanent? We're saved. We're strangers. We're pilgrims here. You know, we say some things with words, but we say some things with actions also. And our words and our actions should agree. Hallelujah. One day, God's going to judge it all. Praise the Lord. I personally find absolutely nothing in Holy Scripture that would lead me to believe that this world is my home. That's why I sing with such fervor, with such excitement and depth. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. And so when you face all these trials of life, you can say, like the lady taught you at the ladies' meeting somewhere in this country, so what?
So what?
My wife and I visited a lady in Hull, in AO. Center of care home. And one leg amputated. Isn't it wonderful that when you have one leg amputated, you can say, so what? This is not permanent anyway. Oh, we believe in healing. Don't misunderstand me. I'm not talking about that. But isn't it wonderful to be able to look it in the eye, in the face, and say, so what? Amen. So what? This is not where I plan to spend eternity, in this body, in this place. No. So what? So, and I don't mean it as a careless, foolish statement. I don't mean it that way. I don't mean it to be said sour grapes or sarcastically. I don't mean that at all. I just mean I'm using the words that the ladies heard. How many heard that? So what? Was that a good message?
Yes.
Shout it. Amen.
Yes.
Yeah. Amen. A few of you were there. And you're amening it. I didn't hear the message. I'd like to. But she taught the ladies that you have to learn to say, so what? So what? So you don't have any hair, men. So what? This is not your permanent head. Okay? So you lost a leg. So what? So you die prematurely. So what? Or so this happens, or so that goes wrong. So what? This is not it. That's it.
Yes.
I know this is hard to take.
Amen.
But this is the place we have to come to. The martyr looks at the cross. The martyr looks at the stake and the firewood beneath it. The martyr looks at the guillotine. The martyr looks at the sword. The martyr looks at his martyrdom. I'm a stranger and a pilgrim here. So what? So what? Paul didn't say, oh, pray for me. I fought a good fight, but I think I'm losing the faith. Pray for me. No, Paul didn't do that. Boy, just like he was anxious. Just like, hey, I fought a good fight. I finished the course. I kept the faith. Henceforth, woo, I see it now. There is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me at that day. Yes. And not to me only, but to all of you who have the same kind of faith, the same kind of fight in your bones and blood. Hallelujah. So don't take it so seriously. If you lose $100,000 in a poor deal here on earth, or $10,000, or in some of our cases, $5, then. Don't take it so seriously. You're going to be walking on streets of gold. Not cinders, not dirt, not sand. Streets of gold. This is not it. This is temporary. Make the best of it. But this is temporary.
Amen.
That's our permanent dwelling place. Praise the Lord. So we say some things with words. We talk big sometimes. But we live small sometimes. We need to say and act in agreement. Praise the Lord. So I find absolutely nothing. Nothing, nothing, nothing in the Bible that would lead me to believe that this world is our home. And if you've been listening to Herbert W. Armstrong or Garner Ted Armstrong, teaching this world is our home, well, you go ahead, but you better listen to the Bible too. Okay. Praise the Lord. The Bible says former things are going to pass away. The Bible says this earth is going to melt with fervent heat. The Bible says it's going to be burned up. It's going to be dissolved. It's going to melt. The Bible says, and Jesus said it, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall never pass away. Again, Peter said, dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims. Jesus said, the birds of the air have nests, the foxes have holes, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. It was his. He acted like a stranger and a pilgrim down here. I go away. I'm bringing you away. I'm coming back to get you. You're going away with me. I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there ye may be also. How can I seriously consider this world my home when he's gone to prepare another home for me, another place for me? Tell me, how can I consider this world my home when he has gone to prepare another home for me? In my Father's home, house are many mansions. I go prepare a place for you, that where I am, he's there. The heavens must receive him until the times of restitution of all things spoken of by the prophets. He's there. He says, I want you to be where I am. Hallelujah. A better country. We're going to a better country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. If that's what they wanted, they could have stayed. They didn't have to die as strangers and pilgrims. They could have driven their stakes into this world. They could have sold their tents and built permanent palaces. They could have done anything. God said so. They'd have been mindful. That country, once they came up, they might have had an opportunity to return, but that wasn't their makeup. That wasn't their spirituality. No. But now they desire a better country. That is, and heavenly. A better country. Folks, some of us have it pretty nice here. We have automobiles. We have automatic washing machines, automatic dishwaters, washers, automatic. We have a lot of automatic, we have a lot of nice things here. A lot of us have nice buildings to live in, houses. We can walk in, and we walk on decent floors, and the roof doesn't leak, and the water faucet's not dripping, and we got a lot of nice things in this world. A lot of us have it real nice here. But be assured, heaven is better than this. Heaven is better than this. You can build the most beautiful house that's ever been built on this earth. Heaven will pale it into insignificance. Heaven will outshine it infinitely. And I will say this, the closer a person is to heaven, the better that heavenly country appears to him. The closer you are to Jesus, the better that heavenly country appears.
Amen.
Oh, it's important to stay close to the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. I think I read this last week. Philo said, the soul of every wise man has heaven for his country, and the earth is a strange place. I love quotes. I don't use them real often, but I love them for myself. Duncan said, unless we renounce the world, we can never expect a heavenly inheritance. And Tanberg said, if we are not strangers on the earth, we will surely not feel at home in heaven. But now they desire a better country, that is in heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. I don't want God to be ashamed of me, folks. You don't want God to be ashamed of you. Jesus said, whosoever shall be ashamed of me and of my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed, when he shall come in his own glory and in his Father's and of the holy angels. Oh, I'd hate to stand before him on that day and be ashamed. My wife and I were just talking yesterday about that verse in 1 John chapter 4, verse 17, I believe. As he is, so are we in this world. And just before that, he's talking about that we may have confidence, or that we may have boldness when we appear before him on judgment day. We all will appear, and God will reveal the secrets of every heart. And so he knows those who were strangers and pilgrims down here. He knows who he's going to be ashamed of. And he knows who was ashamed and who was not ashamed of him. He knows who was not ashamed to be a stranger and a pilgrim down here. Amen.
Praise God. Praise God.
If I had a prayer, and I do, it would be, oh God, don't let us allow such a distance to come between us and you that we lose sight of you. You see, strangers and pilgrims are detached from this world. A stranger and a pilgrim is detached from the place he is sojourning in, temporarily passing through. He doesn't get attached. He remains detached. That keeps him a stranger and a pilgrim. Otherwise, he becomes a citizen of the place where he establishes himself. Okay, so I pray, God, don't let a distance, such a distance, come between me and you, you and me, so that I lose sight of you. I think that's the way I feel. I pray, oh God, and there's an old song, or a new song, don't let me stray too far from Calvary. Don't let me walk too far from Calvary. Don't let Calvary become misty, clouded over, and then out of focus, and then I'm looking like this, and then I'm squinting, and then I'm getting a telescope, binoculars, to see if I can still see it, because I'm drifting so far from it. I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that. I want to say, there it is. There it is.
Yes, Jesus.
Hold on, hang on. I'll cling to the old of your cross.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. Don't allow such a distance to come between us and God that we would lose sight of Him. That we would lose sight of that heavenly city, that celestial city. That we would lose sight of our homeland. That we would lose sight of spiritual things. That we would lose sight of Calvary. Don't let me walk too far from Calvary. My wife and I sing a song. I think we sang it last Sunday. Don't lose the vision of Jesus. Keep your eyes ever on Him. Stay a stranger and a pilgrim and a sojourner down here. Another song. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face, and the things of this earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. Praise the Lord. Galatians 3:7 says, know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. Now if I'm a child of Abraham, I ought to think like my father thinks. If I'm a child of Abraham, I ought to act like my father acted. Or how can I claim a relationship to Him? Whose kid are you? You know? You don't look like your dad. You don't look like your mother. Whose kid are you? Grow up. No traits, no characteristics of your parents. No. If I'm a child of Abraham, and the Bible says I am, then I ought to talk like and act like and think like my father Abraham thought. Can we stand?